The reading is Luke chapter 18, reading verses 1 to 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This is the word of the Lord.
I want to assure you, first of all, before we start, that we are not transporting an African service to Penarth this morning. We're not going to be here all morning or all day, just for a part of the time. And I trust that God will touch us and bless us as we were praying in the back room, that he would fall upon us today in Holy Spirit power. We've read in Luke 18 the story of the persistent widow. And I wanted to start this morning, actually, with a clip from a TV program, because it's part of the series Heroes and Villains. And when I thought of that series, I have to thought of Only Fools and Horses, because there was a Christmas special about 14 years ago which was entitled was titled Heroes and Villains. And in it there's one particular scene that came to my mind, and it was a scene actually of a lady who was being mugged. She was a counsellor. A young woman comes up to her and says, "Have you seen a policewoman or a policeman?" And the response is no. The next thing that happens is she gets mugged by a gang. And all of a sudden, somebody says, "What's going on?" The counsellor says, "I've got no idea." And the camera pans around, and out of the mist comes Del Boy and Rodney, dressed as Batman and Robin. They come rushing up. The mugger's run off. And Del Boy looks around and he realizes, he recognizes the counselor. It's only been writing to because he wanted a grant for his flat. And he stops and he comes up to the counselor. And he says, "I'm Derek Trotter. You may remember me. I wrote to you." There's an astonished look on the counselor's face as all this is going on. She does remember him. And he said, "I wrote to you about an issue I had about getting a grant for the flat." He's just about to finish what he's going to say when Rodney taps his hand like that and he says, "Come on, Del Boy, we've got to go." He said, "I've got to go now, duty calls." And he sees them run off into the distance, chasing after the muggers. After you think of that story, you think, oh, well, what's that got to do with the persistent widow? Del Boy had a case that he wanted to get heard by a counsellor. He kept on writing and writing, and he got nowhere. This was his opportunity to speak to this counsellor to get his case heard. He was persistent. And I was thinking about our message this morning about being persistent. Because in the message that we've read, or the story that we've read, we read about a woman who kept on coming to a judge who was unjust, who didn't fear God or man, to plead her case, to keep telling him what was wrong and what justice she needed to have. And eventually, as we read, she got justice. When Jesus told this parable, he told it for one particular reason. And he tells us right at the beginning, it's so that we should pray and not give up. So we should pray and not faint. And we'll consider that a little bit in a moment. And I was thinking very much a few weeks ago when Margaret Griffiths shared with us a message And as you were sharing about the message about prayer and about persistence, about keep on, keeping on, I kept thinking, that's my message. She's taking all I wanted to say away from me. But God's obviously got a purpose in having me repeat it, that we should keep on keeping on when it comes to prayer. I want to set the scene a little bit, first of all, of actually what we have read about the widow and a bit about the unjust judge, but particularly about the widow. I'm trying to set the scene so we can understand a little bit as we come to consider a few thoughts that I have. Because when Jesus tells the story of a widow, we tend to think of it in terms of our day. We need to transport ourselves back 2,000 years to what it was like in Jesus' day for a widow. Very difficult for her. She was a woman who would have difficulty finding ends meet. She would be a poor widow. Don't forget, there was no social services in those days. No welfare state. No benefits. She couldn't go down and get something to help her. No wonder God in his word tells the church to look after widows, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's nothing special about looking after a widow. But something else about this lady, which would make it very difficult for her. She was a woman. Now, I'm not trying to be sexist when I say that. We have to take ourselves back 2,000 years to what it was like for a lady in biblical times. She did not have the same status as a man. She was considered lower than a man. Very difficult for her. In fact, Jewish Orthodox people would pray to God and thank God that they were men and not women. Thank God also they were not Gentiles. There was different things they would pray for. And they would put themselves above a woman. For a woman, it was difficult. Secondly, she was a widow. So when she went to court, she'd have no one there to help her. She wouldn't have anyone to stand up for her. There'd be no husband. It appears there'd be no other family member either. She was on her own. Rather difficult for her. Thirdly, she was poor. We've got legal aid today, don't we? Not always, I know. But legal aid is available. She had no chance to go to something like that. So she had great difficulties in getting her case heard. Also, in those days, if you want to get your case heard, very different to today, you'd have to offer the judge a bribe. Don't do that today, I hope not anyway. Although occasionally, I've heard recently, that has happened. But that's not usually the case. But in these days, a bribe would have to be offered. She had no money. So how could she offer a bribe? Because the courtroom was different. Go to Cardiff Law Court or somewhere like that, it's quite salubrious, isn't it? You've got the wooden panels and all the rest of it around. The court in Jesus' day was a tent. And a judge would go around from place to place, set his tent up, and there he would hear cases. He'd roll the sides up, and people could come and hear him give justice. Not necessarily the justice of the land, but his justice. You see, it reminded me a little bit of the film Judge Dredd, when he said, "I am the law." Because actually, in these days, the judge was the law. He would mete out justice as he saw fit, not necessarily as the law of the land. And his courtroom being that open tent, everyone could hear it. But you had to have an entrance. You had to have somebody to help you get to hear the case. She had no money. She had no opportunity to go to one of the assistants and say, "Look, get the judge to hear this case." Wouldn't happen like that. And as a result of that, she had to keep coming time and time again to plead what was ever wrong in her situation. That's the background. Let's look at the story now itself. And look at some contrasts in there that maybe encourage us to pray and not faint. Because there's a contrast there between praying and fainting or giving up. There's a contrast, true, between the widow and us as God's people. And there's also a contrast as well between the judge and God the Father. You see, when you look at the first bit here, and it talks about the maybe giving up in prayer, we need to go back to what the original word means. And I'm not going to give you a Greek lesson this morning, anything like that. But the original word "give up" means to be losing heart, to be discouraged, to think, "What's the point of it all?" Ever felt like that? Ever felt so discouraged, so much losing heart, that I'm going to quit? What's the point of going on? I wondered actually whether Cardiff City fans felt a bit like that in May, at the end of the Championship final, when they got defeated. Or whether the Cardiff Blues, the rugby club, Blues is often the right name for them as well, by the way they play. Well, they felt like that when they got kicked out, eliminated from the Heineken Cup. I know they went on to win another trophy. But at that time, the world for people seemed to fall apart. They're small things. But sometimes we have great things in our lives, don't we? Do we feel sometimes that our world is going to fall apart? And therefore, I quit. I give up. What's the point of praying? God's not hearing my case. What's the point of coming to Him and asking Him for things and seeking His face and seeking His will and His guidance for my life when, after all things are going wrong? Jesus tells His story for us not to think like that, but to keep on keeping on. You see, sometimes our relationships with one another is not very good, is it? Sometimes things don't work out, particularly between ourselves. What about our relationship between us and God? Is it always good? Or is it sometimes a little bit weak? A bit poor? A bit cool? And we drift away? It's at those times we've got to keep on keeping on. Not quitting. Keep on trusting. Keep on believing. And keep on praying. I know it can be hard, but that's what we need to do. Because when we keep on praying, God eventually will answer. God will come to us. He won't discourage us. But instead, He'll lift us up. He'll give us that which we need. We sang earlier on, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. How often do I wait upon the Lord? How often do we wait upon the Lord? You see, sometimes when we think about prayer, we think about, okay, let's pray. We'll pray when we come to a prayer meeting. We'll pray when we come to a church service. Or we'll pray in maybe a special occasion or when there's a problem. You know, like the fire extinguisher? You know, we pray and it's a bit like that. You know, the fire extinguisher is on the wall. It's always there ready for us when we come to an emergency. When the emergency comes, we take it down and we use it. But afterwards, we put it back again. And we don't keep on praying. You see, prayer is to be natural, isn't it? It's to be a lifestyle. It's not just to come to a meeting to pray. We do it as we breathe. Breathing's natural, isn't it? We don't have to think about it, do we? We just do it. And as far as God is concerned, that's what we're to do with prayer. Keep on doing it. Keep on praying. Not giving up. Not fainting. Not getting weary. But keep on doing it. Even if sometimes it means that prayer seemingly is being unanswered, God will answer it eventually. I was very struck a few weeks ago with Lacey's testimony to us when she was praying for her husband. Remember she told us a story about going to Cardiff Prison? And she wants to walk around it, but she drove around it because it was a bit wet. I remember that and other things. And she prayed for years that her husband would get employment in the local area. And it seemingly was an unanswered prayer. But recently, God answered it. In His timing, in His way, perfectly. And as I thought about that, I thought how we need to be persistent, as she was in prayer. To keep on praying, seeking God's face, knowing that He will answer us and give us justice at the right time. Integral to our life is prayer, isn't it? Some years ago, I had the opportunity to be in Naples, to be involved in a special Bible distribution. And on the Friday, the last working day that we were there, we had an opportunity to go to the university as we were going each day, and to present Bibles, or offer Bibles and testaments, to those who are going in and out. Now, Naples is quite a strange city in many respects. And one thing about the city is that it's jammed full of traffic everywhere. But on this particular day, there was a problem. There was a great unemployment in the area, and there was a march taking place. So the part they were trying to get to was very difficult. And some of the roads were blocked with marchers. So instead of driving down the middle of the road, as people used to do, and the sides and everywhere else, we could only go down the sides. And it was very difficult indeed to get to the point where we were going to be. The place where we're going to be was just outside the university. Now, in the car, we decided what we're going to do. We should pray. Now, how often do we have a situation where we say, we should pray, and we just talk about it, and we don't do it? Well, we decided we must not just talk about it, we must do it. It was urgent. We had a boot full of Bibles, and they're heavy to carry. There's about 100 in the box. So I can tell you, they're very heavy indeed. So they're going to pray about it. Let's pray. So we prayed. Pray very simply. That God will provide what we needed when we needed it. We eventually got out of the traffic jam and drove out in front of the university. And there in front of us was one car parking space, 20 feet away from where we were to be. God answered our prayer immediately and specifically. And that's what God does. Didn't happen to me just on one occasion. He's done it on many occasions. And maybe for you too. Sometimes it's an immediate prayer. Sometimes there's a bit of a delay, isn't there? And sometimes he says no, because he knows what's good for us. But that doesn't mean we should not keep on, keeping on, being persistent in prayer. So it becomes natural to us. In any and every situation, we pray. We pray for his kingdom to come. We pray for his glory to be seen. We pray that God will give us the grace that we need at that time of need. That's one contrast. The other contrast is between the widow and God's people, because they're different. Don't think that the widow is a picture of God's people. She isn't. She's different. There's a contrast that Jesus brings out here. First of all, the widow was a stranger. She was a stranger. You and I, as God's people, are not strangers to God, are we? We're children of God. We've got opportunity to come into God's presence at any moment, at any time. Secondly, the widow had no access. She couldn't get into the court. She could shout as much as she liked. She could scream at the judge if you like. But she couldn't get access into the judge's presence. You and I can come right into the presence of God at any time. When Jesus died upon that cross, the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom, allowing us access into the presence of God at any time. No wonder prayer is a natural thing for us. We can come right into his presence, and we come to a judge who knows what's best for us. Thirdly, the widow had no friend when she came to court, did she? I said to her, she had no advocate, for you and I have. We've got the advocate as a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes and pleads our case. And never loses the case either. That encourages me. You watch a TV program, maybe Law and Order UK or something like that. Or you hear on the news or read in the newspaper of a court case where it's all fallen apart, maybe because of a technicality. And the case, the justice is not meted out as it should be. We come to a God who always acts justly. Who always acts rightly. And we come because we have an advocate who always pleads our case. He pleads his blood, and he sets us free. What a privilege it is to be in that position rather than the position of the widow. Also, the widow had no promises. Look at the promises that we've got. A few weeks ago, when Gwyneth preached here, she quoted from Isaiah 43. And I love Isaiah 43. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. What a promise to know as a child of God this morning that I'm his. Not just a time, but forever. Joshua was given a promise that God would never leave him. He would always be with him. Not to be afraid or discouraged, because God was always there at his side. Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? When I think of promises like that, I get encouraged. Because I know I've got a God who pleads my case. Also, the woman came to a law court. We come to the throne of grace. We don't have to put all the arguments down. We just come to God as we are and let him use us as he will. Give to us as he wills. Empower us. Give us peace. Give us love. Give us joy. Give us forgiveness. Give us patience. Give us all that we need, because there's a throne of grace. And he gives without finding fault. He gives wisely. What a blessing we have as we consider that contrast between ourselves and God. Doesn't it encourage us to pray? Let's pray. And let's keep on praying. Then finally, the last contrast. The unjust judge and God the Father. That story of the unjust judge, you see him there, stricken about as it would be. Not fearing God, not fearing man, dispensing justice as he saw fit. Our Heavenly Father's not like that, is he? He's a loving Heavenly Father. He gives justice, and he does give it quickly. He gives it exactly what is necessary at exactly the right time, as I shared with you earlier on. And he gives generously. Don't we often say, he gives abundantly more than we ask or imagine. Think about that for a moment. What's the greatest thing you can imagine? God gives more than that. He surpasses all that we can possibly imagine, because he is above all we could possibly imagine. He's God. And he gives to us freely. The unjust judge got wearied. He got wearied, and it means actually as if he'd been given a black eye, that his reputation could have been ruined. We've got a God who never gets wearied, neither sleeps nor slumbers. We can come to him at any moment and at any time. And he answers prayer for his glory and for our good. You see, when we pray, sometimes we pray a bit selfishly, don't we? Let's think of the family prayer or the Lord's Prayer a moment. Thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And your kingdom come. When we put God first, what a difference it makes. What an encouragement it is to us. Because when that happens, it's surprisingly what God gives to us. He does give us more than we ask or imagine. Because that's his way. He's a freely giving God. We sang earlier on, freely he is given. And he freely gives to us when we freely give to him. When we return to him ourselves, when we yield to him, when we come to him believing him, when we come in prayer, when we come consistently in prayer and persistently in prayer. And what a difference he makes. Some years ago, when my father died, I wasn't sure whether my father was a Christian or not. He went to church and he lived a good life, but I wasn't absolutely convinced he was a Christian. And he died extremely suddenly. So I had no opportunity to actually talk to him and ask him. During the week prior to his funeral, we were obviously distressed and in a time of prayer. And my mother decided that we should sing a hymn. It's the first hymn we sang this morning. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Because it was sung at my baptism. Well, it wasn't sung at my baptism, actually. My mother had forgotten, but I wasn't going to tell her that. It was a time of grief. We just let it go. And I was unsure of where my father was. Was he with the Lord or away from him? The day of my father's funeral, we were looking at our daily reading. And our daily reading was this. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And it gave me the assurance that I needed, that my father was at home with my God, my Heavenly Father. You see, he gives justly. He gives exactly what we need when we need it. I don't know what your needs are this morning, but I know this. My God is able to meet all your needs. That widow came out of poverty. We come to God with his riches. And that makes the difference. The widow was persistent. She believed that her case eventually would be heard. Let's be faithful. Our case will be heard. And he will bring justice. Just keep on praying. Let's be persistent. For Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you and praise you for the privilege it is to come to you in prayer. We admit before you, our Father, that we don't always understand prayer. We don't understand the vehicle of prayer. But we thank you, Lord, that through prayer we can come right into your presence. We can lay before you all that's on our hearts. And you know them, Lord. And you deal with them as you see fit. Father, we pray as we come before you this morning that whatever's on our hearts, you would minister to each one of us. Speak to us, Lord, by your Spirit, we pray. Encourage us, enable us, empower us, Father, to be the people you would have us to be, to walk and live by faith, to continue to keep praying to you, seeking your glory, seeking that your will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we pray that as a result of that, we will see your kingdom come. Father, we pray you would pour down your Spirit upon this land. The men and young people will come to faith in you. We pray, Father, for those who have been involved in camp this year. Be able to bless them. They've come back, Lord. Those who have gone to New Wine, those who have been in Soul Survivor. Be able to use them and bless them, Lord, to develop your kingdom here on earth. Again, we pray for Roger and Claire away and the family and others on holiday at this time. You give them a time of blessing and encouragement. We pray for Ivy, Lord, and we pray you put your hand upon her for good, that she may be fully restored to health and strength very soon. We pray, Father, as well for Les, that it may be possible for him to come home tomorrow and that the care that is necessary for him will be available to him. We pray, Father, for those who are going through bereavement at this time, that you give them a time of comfort, Lord, a time of not distress, but a time of your peace and of your strength. For those, Lord, who are ill, we lift them to you and ask that you'll put your hand upon them for good. For those that are serving you elsewhere, we pray, Lord, again for Sean and Fiona and for Bea and Jordan, that you will bless them there in Uganda. Use them, Lord, mightily, Father, we pray, to extend your kingdom there. And we ask, Lord, you would help them to assimilate themselves into that culture, to be able to accept what is taking place, Lord. We pray, Lord, as well this morning as well for Dave and for Stuart. And Lord, we lift them to you. We pray, Lord, you would heal them both. We pray what's wrong with their vehicle will be sorted out very soon indeed. You're a God who's interested in the little things as well as the big things. And we bring these little things to you in some respects. They may be big to us. But deal with them, Lord, we pray. Restore Dave. Restore Stuart. Bring them home safely, we pray. And may the vehicle be sorted out very soon indeed. In fact, Lord, we believe you're doing it even now. Could you do, Lord, we pray. Do these things, we pray. And for each one of us here, Father, we ask you continue to minister to us. Father, we just pray that as we come into prayer, it will become natural to us, just like breathing. And as a result of that, we'll have a lifestyle that so reflects you that the world will take note that we have been with Jesus. For we give you thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Now to him, who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask and imagine, according to his powers that work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let us say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.